Library Show Services presents the Event Planning Podcast, featuring interviews with industry professionals to help you produce your next event.
Here we are at Weeds Cafe for the Event Planning Podcast with occasional notes is Barb and Lori. How are you guys doing?
We're doing so great. Thank you. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you very much for coming. So I guess I'll start with you, Barb. How did you get involved in the event industry?
Well, we started out, Lori and I, as dear friends, actually, about 30 years ago. And we were playing independently and teaching piano. And we're asked to play for our friends. Our students were getting married. And so they were asking us to play at their weddings. And so we were happy to do that. But the pianos at the churches and different event places were just, you know, usually out of tune or older, and what we wanted to play for them, the music that they had chosen, was a little more upbeat and current. So I phoned Lori one day and I said, we should buy new digital pianos and play the music that every bride would want and design it. But we need two of us. We need a cool digital piano and another piano that can make you do string sounds and whatever. So we bought these two pianos and a full sound system, and Lori said, I'll do it with you. So that's kind of how we started, playing at different events, and then really customizing wedding music so any bride or groom could get anything they wanted.
And we wanted to get a sound system and some pianos that were portable, that we could go, we always hated the word portable, but it was the only one we could come up with. We've played on mountaintops with generators, and we've played on golf courses, and you know, just anywhere where people want live music but couldn't have it, or they didn't want a string quartet, or they wanted something different. And then we started bringing on vocalists and string players and all different kinds of musicians, and it just grew from there. And now we've actually backed away a little bit from the wedding ceremonies, and we send other musicians to take care of that.
Why do you think it's important for people to have live music over canned music?
I think that it's just the emotion. Canned music doesn't evoke any emotion at all. It doesn't allow people to feel anything. So it's just the live music makes it completely different. And also, live musicians can go with the flow. There's so many things that can go wrong at a wedding ceremony, and you got 15 minutes to get it right. And if those live musicians know what they're doing, they can just keep going, they can just keep playing, they can live edit. Where if you have a track that ends and you're halfway down the aisle, you are kind of
that awkward silence,
yeah, awkward silence.
For half of the bridal progression. What makes it easy for you to, when you show up on site, like what are people giving to you in advance to actually make the events happen?
We've always prided ourselves in being very self-contained, so we get all the information, customize all the music, and show up and take care of everything for them. We always say, don't worry about this, we've got this. So we never expect anything from the venue, from the people. We take care of everything ourselves.
What kind of questions are you asking your client so that you can provide the best experience for them?
First of all, we know we have a set song list. We know exactly what they want for their families. And before the wedding, we always think of ourselves as kind of the greeting team. So before, as all their friends and family are coming in, we kind of get a flavor for what their family likes. So if they're Celtic or they're like the Rolling Stones, you know, whatever they like, we try to kind of cater that pre-ceremony music to what we know that their family and friends will really love. And then making sure that the timing, we always know how many bridesmaids, we know the family, we know the ceremony is going to flow. We always connect with the commissioner to make sure that we understand the officiant knows what we're doing. We ask as many questions as possible. We know the venue, we know the people at the venue to make sure that we're coordinating that part of it too. So we ask a lot of questions to the annoying point, I think. But that way we've never had anything happen that we didn't foresee. Which is comforting for everybody. You know, we want this. This is their day. It's only 120 minutes or hour that this is going to happen. So we really pride ourselves in making sure that every detail is taken care of.
So tell me about Zoo Street.
We kind of maybe have to back up a little bit because the evolution of our company, because there's one more step before Zoo Street, right?
Yeah.
It's a huge step. So we were playing for weddings and doing sometimes like three a day and having a lot of fun, but we wanted to kind of evolve, do something else. This was 12 years ago that we started. So it's now 3 years ago that my daughters were dancing for the Calgary Italian Folk Dancers, and they got an opportunity to dance the world in Disney World, and we had to do some fundraising. And we had previously done a fundraiser for juvenile diabetes, which was a Disney theme. So we thought, well, let's see what we can do and do a big fundraiser, do a big show to help these girls get to Disney World. So in 3 months, we wrote a musical called If the Shoe Fits, and it was all about girls being themselves in their shoes and doing what they're meant to do in life. And we had a cast of 22 people, and we raised $28,000 for the dance group. So we got our love of musicals there. And then from there, we put on If the Shoe Fits again, 5 more shows, and then Zoo Street started after that, and that's kind of Barb's baby.
Well, my brother Bob Stagg out of Montreal is an incredible musician and teacher and jazz pianist in Montreal, and wrote a song actually for our family's kid, the little kids in our family, called The Duck Call. And we were all at the lake gathered having a great family barbecue, and he played this song, and all the kids just burst out from 1 to 8 years old. Jumped up and danced, and we always love the fact that kids can dance and everybody can jump up and dance almost like a family party. So I said, then we about 2 weeks later we were at an event, and someone came to us and said, we're really looking for some family entertainment. And I just said, well, we have some. We nearly didn't yet, but we said we did, and quickly ran home and asked my brother to write about 9 more songs, and he said, absolutely, I can do that. And this was in March, and he did this writing, no, it was probably February, really wrote a complete soundtrack for something called Zoo Street, which is all genres of music. It's polka, tiger tango, all about the animals and how they relate to the music. So he wrote this music and actually created this CD and submitted it for a Juno, all within about 5 months. And then we performed 38 shows at the Calgary Zoo for their family corporate entertainment after that. So we put together all the people that we knew that were in the shoe show. These singers and dancers and entertainers came together happily and lovingly, helped us choreograph, and we put... This show called Zoo Street.
Were you involved in any of the promotional material for Zoo Street?
We hired some wonderful artists out of Montreal to do that. He created all the characters. The characters are kind of what make people respond to what the animals are. The monkey has such a cool look to him, and they all have the same color scheme, and they all have kind of an appeal to, I think, actually kids of all ages, don't they? Even adults. Yeah. So all the material that was done through Montreal is what we use here.
What about Incognito Entertainment?
So Incognito Entertainment grew out of just an observance at weddings and events, that corporate events mostly, that things were becoming a little bit stagnant, that you'd have your cocktail hour and people would be talking and mingling and, hey, how are you? I haven't seen you for a long time. And then they'd have their dinner and their speeches, and then the DJ would start with loud music and 75% of the people are gone. So we wanted to find a way to engage people and have them stay at the event and be entertained. So we started Incognito, and what it is we have a team of people in place at the event, and they're in different places. Maybe one's behind the bar, maybe one's a server, one's a catering manager, maybe one's an MC. They're all kind of, they're guests at the event, and they're maybe a tad bit inappropriate enough that people kind of wonder, like, is this bartender like a little crazy, or, you know, did you see that bartender? Did you hear what he said? We had one of our waitresses will go up to, take a plate and say, you didn't finish your peas. Just things that click in people's mind. And then all of a sudden there's an event, there's a calamity, there's something that happens that gets everyone attention, and then they start singing. So, and you can hear through the whole event, you can hear everybody go, oh, okay, I get it. They're part of the entertainment. I get it.
What about the pricing for some of these events? Like, how can you quantify all of the effort that's gone in? Like, your brother writing the songs, the rehearsal time, you know? Are people surprised by the expense? Are you able to convey the pricing in a meaningful way for them?
We've always struggled with that. I mean, we always, you know, we've both been playing since we were five, and if we added it all up, I'm sure we've made 10 cents an hour our whole lives, we always say, right? Or maybe 7 cents an hour. But to quantify all the work, and it is true, you go to people and you say, well, this is our show and this is our price, and they say, why so much? And it's hard to say, well, you know, this was a year and a half in the making.
And in their mind, they think, well, really, you're only performing for 40 minutes or an hour and 20 minutes or something like that.
We learn quite quickly that there's really two types of people. There's those people that get in touch with us and say, live music matters to me, this matters to me, and tell me what you do, and they'll come up with the budget. Or there's the people that contact you and say, we only need 20 minutes of music, how much are you? And we say, we're busy half the time, because we always know we'll go down that road for, we'll go back and forth for 6 or 8 times, and it'll come down to, no, we don't have the budget for you. They don't make room in the budget. So it depends on people's priorities.
Sorry, I'm always pretending like I'm talking. The musicians and the singers that we work with, we always just ask them, what is your pricing? And we represent them, I think, quite well in just trying to make people understand what they're getting for that price. So, yeah, it's something that musicians aren't that great at, truthfully. We're not great at the money part of it. We're great at what songs could we sing? What could we do? And then the money part comes in, it's like, that's not the fun part for us, but it's business, so.
What about accommodations for musicians if the wedding is in, if you're listening outside of Calgary, we're next to the Rocky Mountains, and a lot of functions tend to happen in Canmore and Banff at the base of the Rockies, and it is a short travel time, but there's definitely a call for musicians to be staying overnight. So what arrangements would you need to make with the wedding party or the event planner for the musician, and what's usually in the contract in terms of accommodation, meal expenses, this kind of thing?
Personally, you know, we have never stayed overnight anywhere. Our team really likes to travel, and it seems that, I mean, certainly if they need to be taken care of, if it's a late evening or whatever, I think just, again, communicating really well with the family and the bride and groom to make sure that wherever they're staying will accommodate them and for food and drink. But personally, Laurie and I have never, when we've been traveling or with our team, we always, because it's usually Canmore or even Banff, we've just made the journey home because it's really not that far. We usually have a bite to eat and then talk all the way home. So it doesn't seem, but for our team, again, definitely communicating with the family and or their wedding coordinator. We're part of something called Event Corps in Calgary. It's a wonderful kind of a one-stop shop event company where a lot of wonderful vendors in the wedding and event business have come together. And we are, usually when we're in an event, there's at least one other vendor there, the florist or one of the owners of Chair Flair is there, Shannon and Collins, and what's the wonderful thing about that is we're usually a real team, and I think the wonderful part of that business is nothing goes wrong because everybody's there together in one mind, in a way. So, yeah.
So is Event Corps kind of like a marketplace where people can walk in and vendor shop?
It's a physical store where you can go in and you can see everybody's work, and it's also a place where we can all have meetings, so we can meet with our clients there. It gives us an office space, and we all, you know, clients will come in and say, well, do you have your flowers, or do you have this, do you have that, and we all work together, and it's really nice to not be in a competitive place, because I know when we first started out, it was a very competitive market, the wedding industry, I think, in Calgary, and it's gone a lot more collaborative, which is where magic happens.
If you're stuck on a desert island and you could only have one meal and one album for the rest of your life, what would they be?
Chips and dip.
Chips and dip. That's a short
donuts,
life.
Donuts, chips and dip, and probably Rubber Soul. I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I would be French fries and Simon and Garfunkel.
And if people want to find out more about Occasional Notes and your projects, where can they find you?
I think the best place is our website at occasionalnotes.net. Of course, we have Facebook, and our Zoo Street. .ca is our website for Zoo Street. Any information that's coming out regarding the Big Red Shoe Show will be on our Twitter or Facebook. And we're doing quite a few shows coming up. We have a show coming up for Zoo Street on October 14th at the brand new YMCA. Sorry. In King Rocky Ridge. And then the If the Shoe Fits show will be in November. We haven't confirmed that date yet exactly. And then all corporate events and Stampede Time, you'll be able to see us there too with all our entertainers.
What about Event Core?
Event Core YYC, the actual website I'm not positive of. It's just eventcore.ca, I believe. Yeah, anybody there. And again, on Facebook, all their special people are on there too. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much for
our
taking
pleasure.
The time.
Thanks, Chris.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thank you for listening. This podcast was produced by Andrew Spencer and Chris Benoit. Please join us in 1 month for the next event planning podcast. You can also visit us online at calgaryshowservices.com to join our monthly newsletter for inventory updates and event insights.